This is Locked On Cavs, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, local experts on the number one daily sports podcast network. I'm Chris Manning, your host. Coming up on today's show, we're going to take a look at the Cavs beating the Hornets on Wednesday night, a 100-98 win. The win kicks off a three-game homestand where the Cavs are going to host the Grizzlies on Friday, the Hawks on Monday before Christmas. Cavs survived 25 turnovers, including a late one from Colin Sexton in the game's winning moments to pick up their first win since last Thursday and beat a team that, frankly, I think they should have beat considering the Hornets played the night before and looked a bit tired. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just to run through some of the basic info from this game, Terry Rozier led all scorers with 35 points. Colin Sexton led the Cavs to 25. He also had 5 turnovers, a team high. J.D. Osmond added 18. Kevin Love had 16 and 14. Tristan Thompson had another double-double. And Darius Garland shot 3 of 10 after scoring those 21 points against Toronto on Monday, but he did have 6 assists to lead the team. For me, one of the things that really stood out was just Jetty having a nice, well-rounded game as a scorer. This was a game where you saw he had a catch-and-shoot three. He drove well. He cut around Love well. I love the little back cut action where Love would sit up at the elbow, and Jetty would just kind of do a quick little cut behind that. Love would just kind of feed him, knowing where he was going to be. I love that they leaned on that a little bit. Just one of those first times to me this season that that has really popped off of the screen when I'm watching the game in a real way. He scored on the break as well. He had Love feed him that nice pass. Jetty and Sexton should be better at this, but he's not for whatever reason. Jetty's one of the few guys that really instinctually knows to just bolt. When Kevin Love gets a rebound, Jetty's just going to run and try to make a play out of it. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, at least he made the effort. I love that about Jetty. This is kind of, I think, a game where you're happy with what you're looking for and what you're looking for with Jetty in offense. You know, I think the assist numbers for him, I think it'd be ideal if they could get bumped up. He had only had one assist in this one against the turnovers. I think Jetty's best version of himself is a version where he kind of scores well-rounded like this, but he also racks up maybe 4, 5, 6 assists a game on a good night. But I think overall, he was just really good in this one. 8-12 from the field, only makes 1-4 from 3, only made 1-4 from the line. But I thought the way he got his baskets is just kind of the exact kind of mix of what he's capable of doing, what I think is the best version of him. That's a really, really fun thing to see. And I think for Jetty, having a game like this, developing that, continuing to develop that chemistry with Kevin, I think is a good thing. Moving on to Darius Garland. Look, are you going to say this was better than Monday's game? I would say no. 27 minutes for him, 3-10 from the field, not on the floor in crunch time, which I thought was odd. 1-7 from 3, 1 rebound, but 6 assists against 3 turnovers. The turnovers, 2 of them at the very least on first watch, were a little off. He doesn't get into double-digit points. But I don't think this was all a lost game for Garland. And I don't know if this is something that was undersold or overlooked when he was coming out of high school into Vanderbilt, and obviously there's very little tape about his time at Vanderbilt. The people I spoke to in his camp, and particularly his high school camp and his coach in high school about him, was they were like, this guy can pass, like he's a good passer. That's an underrated part of his game. That is what everyone told me. Kind of didn't get picked up in the draft process. I think the read on him was score first, kind of a smaller score first guard. Maybe this is because he's doing this to fill a void. Maybe like he or the coaching staff or both kind of realizes that this is the role they need him to fill, and therefore he's going to fill it. And I think he does miss guys from time to time. There's an instance in this game, for example, where him and Kevin run a little pick and roll on the right side of the floor. The Hornets are coming at him with a kind of a quick little trap, a little double team, just to throw that second body at him. It's almost more of a hedge than a double team. And he doesn't see Kevin, so he dribbles. He's looking at the hoop. Kevin ends up actually making a shot in this position. Garland ends up giving the ball. Love makes a little baseline jumper in his defender's face. But if Garland can recognize that earlier and know, okay, they're coming at me. Kevin's going to be here. I can just swing a pass to him in the corner here, and he looks for that. That is going to kind of unlock him in a way and kind of make him, I think, raise his ceiling a little bit if he can start making those reads. I think he's capable. But I also think this was a game where you saw him make the right reads. He made the simple reads. This is something that doesn't always happen. I think Sexton misses a lot of the simple reads. We're going to get into that because this is a game where the Colin Sexton isn't a good passer, blares off the screen at you. But I think Garland has that in him. He threw a nice lob to KBJ. That was a lot of fun. He just knew to go let him go get him. He made the right passes to, like, swinging the ball around the perimeter. He's not going to, again, lead the team in assists every night. He's going to miss some guys. That's going to happen for him. He's not there all the way. But I think the vision is better than I think it was sold as. I think we have enough data to say that maybe he needs to be more aggressive about passing. But the vision is good. I think it's better than Sexton's at this point. And I think this is a role he can fill on a roster right now that is a little wonky. And, you know, you want to see him shoot better. He clanked some threes in this one. But I thought the passing for him was really good. To look at Kevin and Tristan, again, both just playing really solid. Kevin, 16 and 14, 7 assists, well-rounded game. Probably could have been leaned on more on the offensive end, but I thought he had a good game. Tristan, absolute monster on the glass, 13 boards for him, 4 on the offensive end, 14 points. Did a lot of damage on the inside, and the Cavs as a team did a lot of good work on the inside. They won this game by scoring 44 of their 51 first-half points in the paint, and then made more free throws and three-pointers in the second. According to Cleaning the Glass, the Cavs shot 72.2% on those short mid-range shots that accounted for nearly a quarter of the team's overall shots. That's a percentage that's very, very good. That is extremely high up in how good different guys are. This team that crushed it in the offensive glass, while Tristan, of course, leading the way. And this got them a bunch of easy buckets on a night where they didn't shoot the three well. 1 of 13 in the first half, only 26.9% on the night. They took 17 second-half free throws, but didn't take one in the first half. And looking at the turnovers, you had guys in this one that committed three. Every starter committed at least three turnovers. Deli and Nance, 2 apiece off the bench. So you had guys just kind of racking up turnovers. From a rebounding perspective, Porter had 2 offensive rebounds. Nance, Clark, Henson had 1. Deli had 1. Clarkson 1. Henson went for 2 loose balls and got 2 jump balls. Good stuff from those guys. Kevin just kind of dominated the offensive glass with Tristan coming up big on the offensive glass. So I think overall kind of a game you're happy to win. Survived the stuff late, kind of made it work in the end, and beat a 13-8 Charlotte team to pick up a 7th win. Start off the homestand well. You're not always going to win pretty. You're not always going to win in this optimal way. The Cavs, I think, at least just did that. This is one of those games where I think about last year's team. I don't know if they win this one. I think maybe they blow it. The Cavs almost did blow it. Terry Rozier was wide open at the end of that game, but the Cavs won. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But just as a reminder, if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live or at Locked On Cavs on Twitter, and we will share and retweet those. Coming up, we're going to get into some of the bad from Cavs Hornets, including and especially Colin Sexton's passing and all of those many, many turnovers. We'll be right back. Chris Manning here. I'm back with Locked On Cavs. Okay, Colin Sexton's passing and the lack of passing and all his turnovers, to me, are the biggest concern coming out of this game. I'm going to write about this. I'm going to do a whole podcast about this at some point in the next couple days, now that, just for clarity, I haven't been podcasting because I've been sick and have not been able to talk. Just been burnt out, but we're feeling a little better. This is a problem. Colin Sexton, I think, has a lot of positive attributes. I think Colin Sexton does stuff that I think is really interesting. I think the dude's work ethic, which is just profile and slam, which is a pretty cool thing. I haven't read the article yet, but I'm sure it's very good. Sexton has this crazy work ethic and bets on himself and is gonna, like, put in the work that you would like to get a perk. Like, if you're gonna tell me I can have a guy that can either work like Sexton does or have a guy that, like, with the same skill set that is going to, like, put in the work and shoot a bunch and know that he has to get better, or a guy that's not going to, give me the guy that's going to work 10 out of 10 times. That's a no-brainer. But for him, there's just stuff he misses as a passer that is a little bit concerning. You know, there's an instance in this game where he's barreling down the rim. Kevin Love, he goes into like three guys at the rim. Kevin Love is wide open in the corner for a corner three. Colin Sexton just misses him, doesn't see him. Just is going so fast, which is just an attribute he has, and it causes a problem. Kevin, very funnily, I thought, stayed in his three-point stance. He was like waiting to catch and shoot the ball. Like he was primed and ready to go and looks down, just looks confused. There's a lot of instances where like you can tell he's starting to point out, or he might have already been doing this, pointing out like sort of what stuff Sexton is missing, what he needs to look for. Sexton at the very least like does seem to be receptive to this. I don't think that's an unfair thing, but this is a concern about Sexton right now. In what is a little preview of the podcast and the article, Sexton is one of the among lead guards that have been drafted the last couple years. So you're talking about, you know, John Morant, Trae Young, Garland, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, etc. In terms of his assist usage, in terms of like how often this player is being used versus, and then how often when he's being used is he assisting other players, he's about 20-25 percentiles lower than the next guy. Basically, that means like, and over on the league, he's in like the bottom two percentile of guys in terms of his assist usage ratio. He's not a guy who creates for others. He's not a guy who passes for others. This is a thing and a real attribute about him right now. That doesn't mean he can't be a good NBA player. That doesn't mean that this isn't a guy that can eventually like figure this out and kind of find a middle ground between looking to score and playing better in defense and you know, passing a bit more. That could be true. You can have a good career and be a good NBA player and contribute to winning in a way if you're not necessarily like the most unselfish player in the world. Like you can have guys that just like get buckets. That's cool. But for what the Cavs need right now, for what the Cavs sort of outlook is and sort of the cohesiveness of this group, and I think for Sexton being more than like a bench scorer or something like that, this has to get better. He just right now misses guys. There are two big instances in this one, the Kevin Love one that I mentioned, and then he missed Jetty Osman later and then ended up getting bailed out by Tristan Thompson offensive rebound, where he like forces up a shot instead of just making the right read and finding the guy. I think right now like Garland's gonna make those reads, Sexton just isn't. And then Sexton commits turnovers. He commits turnovers when he's not just kind of, his awareness and his peripheral vision just seems off in reading passing lanes. And late in the game, he dribbled the ball off his foot. This, frankly, almost cost the Cavs the game. They're trying to burn out the clock. The corners are trying to get a stop, maybe commit a foul. Down by two. Colin Sexton dribbles the ball off his foot, gives the Hornets 11 seconds to potentially win the game. Terry Rozier ends up getting a wide open three. Sexton gets screened. Clarkson doesn't kind of make up for it fast enough. The Cavs are lucky that shot doesn't go in. Sexton's turnovers in this one, and I think just kind of missing guys, and I think just making the wrong reads is just one of the little things that allowed Charlotte to creep back into this one. It has to get better. I think there are ways it can get better. I think there are some lineup adjustments you could make, and I believe in the work ethic of Colin Sexton to kind of make it better, but I think there are real concerns about sort of what Sexton is at this point in terms of him being that kind of guy. And I think this game is just the big encapsulation of it. I would say just cutting other things. Again, the turnovers were a big problem. I think Nance had a couple bad ones. I thought Dele had a couple bad ones. Every starter had at least three turnovers. So there's no one that is guiltless in the turnover issues. That's a real, real thing in terms of all these different guys struggling. And then you look at the offense in the first half. I thought the profile of the shots was just a bit weird. You can rely on the short mid. You can make that work. But taking so many shots from there just isn't going to like typically bear out against better defenses. That's an area of the floor where you're going to start missing, and then like you're not getting shots to the rim. The Cavs didn't take very many shots to the rim on this one. And then zero free throws in the first half just isn't helping yourself. And the Cavs were frankly lucky to win this one considering they went 1-13 from 3 in the first half. It ends up normalizing. Kevin, really good game from 3, 4, 6. Sexton only took one, though. You know, Garland's 1-7. Porter makes one, but he's 1-3. No Clarkson threes, no Dele threes, no Nance threes, even though he took two. just kind of one of those games where like you're a little lucky to win the way you did, but a win is a win, and sometimes that's okay. Again, sometimes you're gonna win games like this. The Cavs are not a team that like has a pure identity in terms of what they're gonna do. This is a team that has like a patchwork roster. This is a team that has like a weird kind of combination of players. This is a team that is figuring itself out and is going to change over the next rest of the season and into the next couple of years. This is a team that loves the mid-range. It has guys that love the mid-range right now. I'm not fully anti-mid-range. Analytically, it's not the most efficient thing, but I also think like you can make it work, and if you have guys that can get that shot off, that's great. It's a good tool to at least have and not over rely on it. This is just a game where like you don't shoot well from three, you're not getting free throws, you turn the ball over a lot, you're sort of lucky to win and hold on the way you did. Again, the Cavs deserve some credit for getting some stuff late, and Sexton actually had a lot of points in this one that came up big. He shot really efficiently. Garland, again, makes about Reach Jetty, a good game. Kevin, good game. But this could have ended badly, and some of it is the overall profile. All right, we're going to take one last break, but if you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, you should go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. Breaking Tee Sports T-shirts makes the best sports T-shirts around teams' passionate moments. These are great for all fans. You go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn and then search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. There is a Cav shirt we're dropping soon through Fear the Sword, Locked on Cav supporting it as well through a certain wing from USC that I've seen the design. Assuming everything kind of goes right there, it's going to be great. You're going to want to cop that with some of that maybe Christmas one you get from your grandma. But coming up on Kevin Love, he had an interview with Jason Lord of The Athletic drop yesterday. We're going to talk about what Kevin said, what I think it means, and we're going to be right back. Okay, Chris Manning here back with Locked on Cavs. Kevin Love again talks to The Athletic the other day. I'll link that in the show notes. I thought this was overall a fine conversation. I thought the stuff he said about the Hall of Fame, what it would mean for him, LeBron coming back to Cleveland after he's no longer with the franchise in whatever capacity that looks like, I thought was really interesting. The thing that's going to get, I think, talked about, and I think fairly so, is the stuff about him being here, what if he thought he'd be here, and being traded. So I'm going to read you what he said about him being surprised that he's still a Cav. Quote, "Honestly, yes, I'm surprised. You guys are surprised. All these guys are surprised. I really thought that when LeBron left, that was the end for me. I think a lot of people did. They, in reference to the Cavs, were just going to restart, go super young, whatever it is. They might still at some point. My commitment has always been really solid here. No matter where the chips fall, I'm going to keep doing right by Cleveland, Ohio, the Cavaliers, all of that. There's so much movement now. Guys win a championship and leave. Guys are pairing up. You just never know now. I don't know if I'd have been the same. This is what, my 6th year here? In my first 6 years to these guys, I don't think I knew how to be good to them and talk to them, take Darius aside and reach out with calls and texts to Colin in the summer, setting up these camps. It's just a different feeling in how I approach stuff with the young guys. Kevin Porter Jr., Dylan Windler, I don't know if I would have been the same." And then Lloyd asked him pretty point blank about if he could see himself asking for the trade. This is what he said. Quote, "So could I see it? Yes and no. It's tough for me to answer. If we got a year or two down the line, I don't know what their plans are for me even in the short term. But if it got there and we weren't getting any better, it might make sense for them to completely go young. Maybe it's that way now." See, that's kind of the end of the article with a question mark at the end. That's funny by Kevin. He's being cheeky there. I think we're past the Rubicon of Kevin Love being traded, being something crazy. I think it's at the very least 50-50 at this point. If I'd been better at podcasting, that would have been clear already to you, the listener, but I think it's probably coming at this point. I don't know what that means. I don't know where he goes. Phoenix and Portland are the teams that like jump out to me, whatever. But I think this is going to happen. I just don't think we're going to see Kevin Love come out and say, "I want out and I want to be somewhere else" in a very dramatic way. That's just not in his DNA. That's not, I think, what he's going to try and do. You can tell by watching him that there's stuff that really annoys him. I don't think he likes playing with Colin Sexton. Like, the stuff on the court where, like, and I think a lot of guys seem to feel this way, where, like, when Sexton doesn't pass, I think it does kind of annoy guys. Kevin kind of being one of them a little bit. I don't know if there are certain places he wants to go, like, but when you see Woj or you see other guys kind of talk about that, you know, this is going to be out there and you're discussing kind of value and like there that when there's when you I think when you see a situation where like the reporting is the Cavs can get like a pick and like expiring contract, that's like sort of the package for Love that's going to be out there. Like, that tells you, I think, that we're kind of diving into this in a real way. This isn't just like fun speculation. This isn't just like can we get Kevin to a better team and maybe have him go for a title at the end of this. Like, I think that's sort of where we're at with that. To me, I think just the biggest question is, I think there are a couple big questions, the two being like, when does it happen? You know, we're past December 15th. We're past the trade, sort of the trade season kind of official opening. Like, the stock market, so to speak, is open now. You can trade guys from the last summer. And I also think, you know, you wonder what the value is and how the Cavs evaluate that. This is a front office that I think has become more analytically inclined. I think this is a front office that is more kind of does have like a process and does kind of do isn't just going to do things just to do things. I think they know they need to get value back. So where does Kobe Altman say like this is enough? You know, people have thrown out like it's like Whiteside, maybe like Nazir Little and like are protected first or something like that. You could go to Phoenix and be like people have thrown out like Kaminsky, who's on like has a player option for next year. Tyler Johnson is expiring in like a protected first or a first. I would, if I'm the Cavs, I'm trying to get more for that, but maybe you can't. You know, I think that my favorite package right now is probably something where you get Mikal Bridges back from Phoenix and you get a pick and you take on Tyler Johnson's expiring. Like, that's sort of the ideal. Maybe Kaminsky's in there too, just because they're not going to need him and he has a player option. Like, the Cavs have all this cap space that particularly gets cleared out if you're trading Love for at least one expiring, whatever. We'll see what they sort of want for that. And, you know, we'll see sort of how this goes the next week. You know, we'll see if Kevin becomes more disgruntled. We'll see if, you know, if being F asking for a trade becomes sort of more forceful in some way. We'll see, you know, if these rumors really start heating up post-Christmas. I don't think we're going to see something like in the next couple days, but like, we get into January, maybe this does start picking up, but I think we're kind of past the point of this not being a non-story. This is a real thing. Kevin, I think, coming out and saying this is basically like, I'm not, the way I read it is that it's like, I'm not going to make a big public deal about this. I'm not going to cause a bunch of drama and cause chaos in the locker room in a public way. Like, I'm going to do what I can do to make this better while I'm here. I think he's going to approach that in a professional way. But, like, if him and Kobe and him and the team and sort of everyone knows, like, he probably wants to be gone at this point, that wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, you know. And he also had comments in this, like, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen with Tristan and Jordan Clarkson and whatnot. Like, I don't know if those guys are going to resign. And, like, I would bet you, like, I don't think Jordan Clarkson makes sense for the Cavs after this year. I don't know if Tristan makes sense for the Cavs after this year. If those guys aren't going to be around and the Cavs are like, yeah, like, we're going to continue to invest in youth. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense at that point to, like, probably for everyone's sort of sanity to move on from Kevin and get the best deal you can, get him to a chance where he can play in the playoffs again. I don't know where that is. I think, again, Phoenix and Portland are the teams that make the most sense. You could throw out other ones as well, but I think we're past kind of this. I think this interview is really just about him saying, like, I'm not going to be super publicly dramatic about this. But I would read the interview again. Click that in the show notes and check it out over at The Athletic. All right, so thank you so much for listening for the show December 19th. Again, subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Follow along on Twitter at Lockdown Cavs. I'm not using Twitter right now, my own personal account, but we're going to update the Lockdown Cavs feed. And maybe I'll live tweet a game, but probably not on Lockdown Cavs. But we're going to be back tomorrow, yes, actually, and kind of doing some player rankings, grading some guys through the season, just going to divide up the roster, do those in between games the next couple days before the game. And then the Cavs again to play Friday against Memphis, Monday against Atlanta, have recaps of both those games as well as a look at Monday, as well as a look at the Atlanta game and looking at what could kind of entail, that one could entail come Monday. But this is going to be it for today's show. Thanks for listening. I'm Chris Manning.